Welcome to Grow Your Influence, leadership conversations for business owners and managers. Whether you own a business and have a team, or leadership is part of your role, welcome. You're exactly where you need to be. Join co-hosts Juliette Robinson and Christy Lee Billett for their regular conversations on all things leadership. No corporate jargon, no textbook ideologies, just real life experience unpacked in a relaxed way to help you be your best boss and lead your team with confidence, clarity, and control. This is Grow Your Influence. Let's dive in. Hey there, it's Christy Lee here, and welcome to our final episode in the summer series of the Grow Your Influence podcast. Today's episode is a conversation that I recently had with Dr. Massey Jawaya. Dr. Massey is a sports, exercise, and lifestyle physician, so a real-life medical doctor, but she's also a health coach and advocate, and she works with leaders and leadership teams around the space of well-being. And in today's discussion, she shares with us not only the five key pillars of holistic well-being, which is so important because it's not just about physical activity, but she shares with us both her journey and also her experience in the clients she works with in terms of why looking after our well-being across all five pillars makes us better leaders. So, fascinating discussion with Dr. Massey, which I'm really excited to bring you today. This is our final episode of the summer series. So, normal programming with Juliette and I having our usual conversations will return in the next episode. We really hope you've enjoyed the summer series. We've both interviewed some fascinating people and really enjoyed the conversations that we've had and being able to bring those to you. If you'd like to contribute and share your thoughts, please head over to the Facebook page for Grow Your Influence and let us know what was your favourite episode of the summer series. We'd love to hear from you. All right, let's dive into my conversation with Dr. Massey. Dr. Massey Jawaya, and I think I almost got that right, welcome to the podcast, Dr. Massey. It's wonderful to have you here.
Thank you, Christy Lee. It's wonderful to be here. And yes, you nearly got that right. It's Massey Jawaya.
Jawaya. Excellent. And as we were just chatting before we hit record, we're going to stick with Dr. Massey for everyone's sake, so there's no confusion, very clear exactly who you are. And I'm really excited to have you on the podcast today, particularly at the time of year that we're releasing this episode, because I think it's so important to take a moment to remember to focus on ourselves as business owners and leaders. And if we don't set it up right at the beginning of the year, it's very easy for this topic that we're chatting about today to fall off the priority list as the year gets away from us. So I think this is the perfect time of year to be having a conversation about health and well-being as business owners. But before we get into it, tell everyone a little bit about yourself and your journey and the work that you do now.
Yeah, so my name is Massey, as you know. And so I'm a medically trained doctor, and I specialized in the area of sport and exercise medicine. And however, during my training, I struggled with my own work-life balance. And I was working as a mom, I was working as a doctor. I was studying for these intense medical exams, take about a year to study for, so to specialize in sports and exercise medicine. And I also had a husband who was also studying for exams. So there was a lot of stress within our family in trying to work, take care of the kids, trying to take care of ourselves and build our careers. And so during that time, I struggled to pass my own exams, and despite the fact that I studied harder, and I was making sure that the kids were, I had one daughter then, in daycare, and I'd work until the last minute, quickly pick up at 6 o'clock before, you know, you start getting charged $1 a minute mm-hmm. in Australia. If you go over that 6 o'clock PM mark, rush her back home, quickly feed her, shower, get to bed, and then feed myself, then study until about midnight or later, and then wake up early to do it all again. Mm. And this was really a stressful time. And so I wasn't passing my exams despite the fact that I was working hard. And then I saw a performance psychologist, and she worked out that the problem was not so much my knowledge. I knew I had the information, but it was my work-life balance. Mm. I wasn't taking good enough care of myself. I wasn't prioritizing my family. And so once I started making sure that I had time for myself, for my health and wellness, I had time for my family, and I made time to study strategically as well. Mm-hmm. Then I started seeing the results. I was less stressed, I was happier, and I passed my exams within the next 3 months, essentially. Wow. So that's where I realized that, okay, I'm a sport and exercise doctor, but there's more to life. There's more than the musculoskeletal part. It's very important. But that's when I saw there was a holistic approach to health and well-being, the way we sleep, the way we eat, you know, the way we communicate with our family, that social connection, and so much more. So that's why I kind of went into lifestyle medicine. I studied lifestyle medicine on top of that. So I became more sport, exercise, and lifestyle medicine doctor, and then created my own company, Herself Health, which is really a health and well-being company. And it's essentially started off as women, for helping women, especially mothers, with their work-life balance and their wellness. And then but it's evolved since then to become more of a workplace and well-being thing. So for leaders and their team, essentially. So looking at not just the individual as health and wellness, but also the organization. How do you create that workspace that's healthy so that people can be thriving at home with all they do and also at work?
It's such important work, and your journey to get to where you are now, I think, is so fascinating. And I've had friends that have gone through that medical degree process with young children, and I can't even imagine the pressure in a household and the stress in a household with that kind of workload, because it's significant, the expectation of that industry on not only hours of work, which is very high, obviously, but also the study that goes on top of that, then to navigate a young family. And I've certainly been that parent who was at the daycare centre in the car park prior to the doors opening at 7 a.m. and then the last one there at 6 p.m. And it was bliss in terms of I had that care that I knew was safe and excellent care, and that my children were well fed and all of those things, and I could drop them in their pyjamas and it was all fine. When I came undone with all of that is when my eldest child started primary school, and there was no 7 a.m. drop-offs, there was no 6 p.m. pickups, and I suddenly had to reconfigure the way I worked and reprioritize the way I worked, because that support mechanism was gone. But it is, when you're relying on that very long daycare and you're looking after children and then trying to do everything around that, it's super stressful. And I think your journey to, starting as a medical doctor to this holistic approach to health and well-being is really interesting. I also want to pick up on the work-life balance term, because I have a very strong opinion that work-life balance is something that is pretty much unachievable. And I know you use a term called work-life flow, which I think is a really lovely term, because it's not always balanced, is it? Sometimes the family has to be our only priority and work falls to the side, or the business falls to the side, and sometimes it can be the other way around, can't it?
Yeah, that's correct. And the reason I use work-life balance is because it's such a common term that everybody knows.
Yes.
And trying to change that, if you start using a different terminology, people don't understand what you're talking about. Mm. So the idea is that it gets the conversation started and everybody on the same page. And then we talk about why we need to call it something a little bit more different. And even when you speak to people, because I've interviewed quite a few people on work-life balance, what it means to them, it means different things to different people.
Yeah.
So it's just a terminology that brings us on the same page. And then we start identifying what it really means. So I agree. When you talk about balance, it sounds like things must be equal on each side, 50% work, 50% home life. It doesn't work like that. And this is why I talk about work-life flow, where things ebb and flow. Sometimes, like you said, you're doing more in that work sphere and there's less of that focus on the family. Sometimes it's more on the family. So it ebbs and flows, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And so it's a matter of just being conscious of what are your priorities in your life, in your work, in your family, in yourself, in your health, and making sure that you're doing something in those areas. It doesn't have to be even one third, 50, 50, whatever it is, but it just has to be, am I conscious that, okay, I'm spending time with the family. Okay, I'm feeling a bit stressed. Why am I feeling stressed? I need to maybe top myself up a little bit more.
Yeah.
I need to sleep a little bit more. I need to exercise. So when you know those areas, then you can do a little bit more when you're noticing the signs of stress or a deficit in one part.
Absolutely.
Just be so conscious about it. So work-life flow is much better.
I like it.
And we're one person as well. So it's not like you're split. You're one person with multiple different roles.
Yep.
And it's realizing that, coming back to really that whole flow balance, it should be work-life self.
Mm.
It's really about you as individual and then what you're doing in those different areas.
Mm, so important. And as business owners, I think we can be We suffer from guilt a lot as business owners. Guilt that we're not giving enough to the business, guilt that we're not looking after our team well enough, guilt that our family is suffering. So I think the term work-life balance feeds into that guilt, where the term work-life flow or some other terms don't let go of that guilt and make it okay that as long as you're conscious and it is the right thing for your priorities at that time, then it's totally fine that things are focused in one area more than another, which I really like as well. So let's talk about health for business owners and leaders in organizations. Why is it so important that we focus on this? Because I don't think we shine a spotlight on our individual health journeys nearly as much as we should. And I think this goes for business owners as well as leaders. Why is it important that we look after our health?
Yeah, so Christy, this is the thing. Health is who we are, because everything we do starts with us. And we forget and think the way the working world has been designed is that we focus on the things that we're doing and not who's doing that thing. So we're not machines. And I know people talk about organizations, and I really view the organization more as an organism. It's a living, breathing organism. It's made of individuals, living, breathing beings. And so we're all like, if you compare it to the body, obviously I'm from a medical background, I use this analogy more. It's like each of us is like a cell within this organism. So each individual in an organization is a living cell, and it has a function and role. And we need to take care of that cells, take care of ourselves so that we can do the things that we want to do, so we can function and the organization can thrive. So it comes back, and we forget that we're human beings, not machines. And so that's why health is so important, because if we come back to taking care of ourselves, and we become our best selves, and we show up as our best selves in all these different areas. Because you take out this one thing, you're good at work, you're good at what you're doing at home, you're good in, helping others in the community. So health is so important, because when we have ill health, we can't perform at our best. We can't be the best parent, person or leader, whatever it is. It comes back to you're a human being.
I like that analogy because in business, we often refer to, cogs in a wheel or cogs in a machine, and each person is one of those cogs. I really like flipping that to the cell analogy, because if a cell's not healthy, it's going to infect or affect the rest of the organism that it belongs to. So I really like that analogy being flipped on its head from being a machine to being a person and an individual as part of the health of the organization. What about the key pillars of health? Because of course we know physical health is important, but I've certainly learned in my business journey that physical health is not the only type of health that we need to focus on. What are the sort of areas and pillars of health that you work with people on?
Yeah, so I agree that most people, physical activity and physical health is the lowest, hanging fruit in a way. It's the easiest thing. We can physically see it. It's tangible. You can do it. But there's more to us than just the physical form. So I look at it as there's four key pillars for a healthy lifestyle. And it's things that we do every day, but we're not really doing them consciously. But when we become conscious about what we're doing, then we really bring out the best in ourselves. So the five pillars, in my view, are really mental activity. So the way we think, the stories we tell ourselves, conversations that we have, whether this is where things like imposter syndrome may come in, and negative self-talk and positive self-talk come in. So it's mental activity, how we think. Yeah, there's physical activity, the way we move our bodies. And then there's sleep, which is so important, which is important for recovery and rejuvenation. And it helps all areas of our lives. There's nutrition. And I say nutrition because it's a food and drink, the things that we put into our bodies, the way we feed our bodies, also feeds our minds and things like that. And then the fifth one is social and soulful connection. So it's connection. It's
Connection.
social connection is connection with the people around us, because we're social beings. We're not built to just be by ourselves as humans. And there's also the soulful connection, which is our connection with ourselves, coming back to ourselves. So those are the five pillars, which are mental activity, physical activity, sleep, nutrition, and social and soulful connection.
I love that, and I love looking at them individually. And I think I know for me and for a lot of business owners I know, sleep is one that tends to fall by the wayside very easily. Also happens when you're a parent generally. But I've been doing a lot of research around sleep recently, and really beginning to sort of click into gear that this is a priority that I need to make some changes to? Because I used to see it as quite, you know, a badge of honor that I could function on only a few hours sleep a night and be up and charging at it the next morning. It's similar to your story with staying up till, you know, midnight, or I'm sure often 1 or 2 a.m. studying and then back at it again the next morning. And you can function, but you absolutely are not functioning at your best with lack of sleep. And the amount of focus on sleep I'm seeing these days around its importance for rejuvenation, as you said, is so important. And I think, as you said, physical is like the low-hanging fruit. It's the easy one. It's the box we feel we can tick. And I do see business owners and leaders often really leaning into that very heavily. And because as entrepreneurs, we also tend to have a competitive streak in us a lot of the time, I see a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, running marathons, climbing mountains, doing really intense physical activity. And that's great, but it's not the only form of health that we need to look after, which I find really interesting. And I do absolutely acknowledge, and I've had this experience, that looking after your mental health and your self-care around that, I think is the biggest game changer for improving the health of your business, because it improves you as a leader immeasurably when you spend the right amount of time focusing on that. With the people you work with and your experience in the field, is there a particular one of those pillars that you see we struggle with a lot as business owners and leaders?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right in that sleep is the most common one that we struggle with, because there's only a certain amount of time in a day, and we all have the same amount of time. And the things that we're trying to do more in that fixed amount of time, and the time's not changing. Mm. And so people think, okay, right, I can't change the clock, but I can sacrifice some time here and there. So sleep is the one that goes, because that's the one that's usually most within our control. We can't really control the family and the work and all that schedule. So that's the one that people tend to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest mistake, because when we don't have enough sleep, we're not thinking as clearly. We react slower, and we our emotions are less stable. So we're more likely to get angry or irritated, or have all these then fires that we create that we then trying to put out. And so where sleep takes care of everything, takes care of your physical health, helps you with emotional stability, even in nutrition and controlling what we eat. When we have less sleep, we'll eat unhealthy. We'll crave sugary, fatty foods, that thing that makes us feel good quickly, because we're looking for energy boosts as well. Whereas when we have enough sleep, we're also able to control our appetite, what we eat better. We're less stressed, and we're less dependent on those stress-reducing mechanisms, whether it's emotional eating, whether it's smoking, whether it's drinking, all these other things. Mm. And so that's the one that we give up, but that's the most important one to give back. Because, as you know, when you get more sleep, you're like, oh my gosh, I feel like a different person.
Yeah. And it's that consistent quality pattern of sleep too, isn't it, that's really important. You unfortunately, from my understanding, you can't bank it up and have one really big sleep to offset, you know, a lot of terrible sleeping. And is it 8 hours a night that we should be getting? Is that still the magic number?
You know, everyone's different. 8 hours has been thrown out there, but we know everyone's different. But mainly you want to be aiming for at least having 6 hours or more sleep, really, to have those health benefits. There are times when, for example, as a parent or you're working on a certain project, you will have less sleep. Mm-hmm. And then you might want to do that thing of catching up on a whole lot of sleep, which is fine to do from time to time.
Yeah.
But the idea is really to at least have consistent amount of sleep. And like I say, 6 hours or more. Because if you're trying to say 8 hours and people are making, then they're like, well, if I can't make hours, I won't bother.
Yes.
But you want to get consistency. And the key is trying to have a regular sleep pattern where you wake up at the same time every day. So even if you're going to bed at midnight and you're like, I wanted to get 8 hours sleep, and you tend to get up at, say, 6:30 or 6 o'clock, you maintain that sleep time. And what happens is that when you maintain that sleep time, then you work on really increasing going to bed a little bit earlier. So instead of saying, okay, I'm going to go to sleep at 10 o'clock every night, instead say, I'm going to wake up at this time every night. And eventually your body does kind of build up a bit of a sleep bank, and you'll end up, you know, craving sleep and wanting to get that sleep in. But consistency, 6 to 8 hours or whatever works for you, and keeping that waking time the same.
That's a great tip. So keeping your waking time the same and then adjusting back. But I agree with you. 8 hours for a lot of entrepreneurs feels unachievable. Six, I think would feel closer to achievable for most people. And certainly I think it's a good starting point for you to start to go, if I can get a good quality 6 hours sleep consistently, then you can stretch it 6 hours, 15, 6.5 hours, and then
Yes,
continue to
exactly.
increase it from there. But I think our culture has told us that we can champion being non-sleepers and we can power through. But all the data, all the research, all the medical experts tell us the importance of sleep and good quality sleep. And that then has that, as you said, that follow-on effect to our mental fitness and our mental health and all the other areas. And I think we've all had the experience where we haven't had enough sleep and the next day we're all snacky and craving terrible foods. You know, it's really relatable. So sleep is one thing that we can definitely fix. Is there, you know, what, I guess as business owners, why do we find it so hard to prioritize our health? Do you see business owners putting their health last in their list of priorities?
Yes, absolutely. Because the thing is that, like you said, it's more about outcomes. What have you produced? What have you done? When have you got this? So people are looking at the end product, but they're forgetting about the person, the individual that's actually doing the work. So I think it's just the way the work environment has been designed. It was always more, what have you produced? Was say from an industrial age and all that stuff. So what's the product? What's the outcome? And we focus on the outcome, the end goal. But it's the journey to get there that's really important. And it's as we're doing that, we're the human beings who are putting in all that effort and things. So we need to start off with a change within ourselves. We can't wait for work to change how things are or some big policy put out there, because that's going to take a long time.
Yes.
Those changes take very long. So we have to decide for ourselves, you know what, my health is a priority, and decide why it's important for you to be healthy. So not everybody wants to, you know, have a toned body or wants to lose weight or whatever. Sometimes it's because, you know, you want to be less snappy at your family, you know, and that's where you're right. Okay, in order to do that, by taking care of my sleep, sleeping better, my emotions are more stable. I'm less reactive. And that just happens without you having to think up any magic plan. Your body does that thing for you. If I'm eating healthy and I don't have all these energy highs and lows because I'm eating all these sugary foods and then having these big dumps in, I'm able to be less hangry and have better control of how I'm reacting. I'm not snappy because I'm hungry, I'm not stressed out. So it's really important because it helps us. I've forgotten the question, Christy Lee, I have to admit.
No, that's fine. So we're talking about why we find it hard and how we can better prioritize. And I guess my follow-up question was going to be, what are some of the benefits that a business owner can expect to see in their business and in their life, obviously, if they do start to prioritize their health? Because I've seen this happen firsthand in the businesses I've run, when I've made a shift away from being the martyr that was up at, you know, all hours doing all the things to actually prioritizing my own self-care and my own self-health and the positive impact it had on my business. But I'm curious from your experience, what are the positive impacts you see when a business owner and a leader can prioritize their health?
Yeah. So you see that you feel better in yourself. You have more energy. You're finding that you're not working as hard. You're working smarter now. You're finding that you can do, in a way, more and less time, but you're working strategically. You're able to think better and be strategize a lot better. You have more energy. Your relationships improve because you no longer have all that emotional instability and all that stress. You're managing your stress in other ways, through the physical activity and nutrition or whatever else. So you have better relationships and you're more productive and you can think more creatively and clearly. There are multiple benefits in that. You see a benefit in your work. Your performance, you know, that everyone else is measuring, and the way you feel in your relationships.
And I definitely saw for me when I made this change, and I made this change probably it was about 13 years ago because my youngest was a baby at the time. And for me, I noticed that I had reduced overwhelm and I was more, I felt more resilient to whatever was going on, no matter what the stress was. I felt more equipped and ready to handle that, which makes a big difference as a business owner because overwhelm is real. We all feel it. But I felt more able to cope with that overwhelm. And I had then mechanisms for dealing with the overwhelm. So I took up running and I was never a runner. So I had to learn how to run 5 kilometers over time. And then I found if I was feeling particularly stressed or overwhelmed, if I went for a quick run and even just a few minutes that was a strategy that then I could then deploy to bring that overwhelm down. And I, when I started talking to other business owners, I found out lots of people were doing that. And a corporate client I was working with was in a business partnership with three people. It was, could get very tense. And he would say, I just run to the end of the street and back before I went into a meeting because then I wasn't going to yell and explode at people. So it gives us coping mechanisms that we, and this is different for everyone, what they are, but you find the coping mechanisms that work best for you in that journey of starting to look after yourself that you can then tap into at a micro level to help you get through a stressful day or a stressful situation.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It reduces the overwhelm, you have clarity.
Yes.
You know, you feel like things are more in control. You have, because you're working on things that you do have control of, which is yourself and what you do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those five pillars that I talked about, that, you know, that that's mental activity, physical activity, sleep, nutrition, social and social connection. Those are five pillars. But I say, you know, it's good to do one of each. But when you do all five of them, they become like a powerful fist that is really powerful and has massive impact. So you want to be doing things in those five areas. And then you're so powerful. And you can do so much more. You're energized. Mm. And so you can make big changes.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, you might sleep might not be okay in the one of those five pillars, but the other four are going well. That's still stronger than, say, just doing the one thing, which is the sleep, just having the one, say, if you have, you know, like one finger out there. Yeah. But It really is. So sometimes you might find that, for example, you talked about the leader that you worked with who would run up the studio and come back and feel less stressed. That's great. And that's one of the pillars. That's physical activity. But for some people, you might be doing that already and you might be running marathons or going to the gym every day and finding I'm still stressed. Okay, what else is going on? Then look at the other pillars. How am I fueling my body? All right. Okay, I'm depending on the sugary foods and then I'm having all this alcohol at the end of the day or whatever it is. It's like, okay, what can I do to maybe reduce that to have better sleep? Because, again, alcohol will affect your sleep. Am I not sleeping enough? What can I do? And you add, so you're doing one thing, right? Great, tick, keep it going. Work on the next pillar.
Yeah.
Okay. Just what can I do? A little something in that area. Then the next one, and you carry on doing, and it just becomes stronger and stronger. So it's little increments in all those little areas.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. And then I think this also then has a flow-on effect to our teams and our businesses broadly, doesn't it? How do you see it have that flow-on effect when we, as the leader or the business owner, start to look after ourselves better?
When we start looking after ourselves better, we realize the importance in that for other people. Because if we're working late and we're sleeping 4 hours and we're sending emails all hours of the night and we're not spending very much of our time with our family, then we kind of, in a way, we role model that to the people in the workplace and think, well, my boss doesn't spend time much with their family. If I start doing that, I'm going to lose my job. Mm-hmm. And people are just going to do what the boss is doing, what the leader's doing. So we need to lead by example. So when you start as a leader, start taking, or business owner, you know, some people don't always call themselves leader, business owner, who as yourself, as you start taking care of yourself, people see that. Even within your family, they notice, oh, you know, mom and dad are eating healthier. Okay, we're going to start eating healthier as well. People will role model that and they'll realize that we model the behavior that we expect of others. So it's no point saying, yes, you must all get a lot of sleep and you're not getting much sleep. Spend time with your family, but you never spend time with your family. Mm-hmm. So that we role model what's important. And then we create a culture of health and wellness within the organization. Yeah, because so really it's the leader sets the tone for what happens in that organization, whether it's in a division, whether it's in the whole team. So we need to role model that. And then other people will begin to act the same way because, well, the boss does it, the leader does it, the head of the department, whatever it is, does it. They will also do that. So really important, because it's not enough for an individual to just do it for themselves. For example, I use this analogy say if you're taking great care of yourself, your health and wellness, you're doing all the five pillars and you're great at it and you feel great, but you get to work and work is this toxic environment where there's stress, there's people disagreeing, there's emails all hours, all this pressure, that becomes a toxic environment. And I say where when you take care of yourself, you're like a cucumber. Mm-hmm. There's this great analogy where if you put a cucumber in vinegar, say that toxic work environment is like vinegar, it turns into a pickle. So you can be doing all you want to take care of yourself, be this healthy cucumber, you go to work and you're in this vinegar that's just toxic. It'll begin to erode and destroy you. Yeah. And the thing is that you either have to change the environment, or you need to leave that environment.
Yeah.
And so this is where workplaces, it's really important to take care of your people, because you don't want the good people, your good workers, to leave because of this climate that you created at work. So you create a wonderful, healthy workplace culture where everyone's healthy and taken care of. They thrive at work. They thrive at home. They give you the best of themselves because you're taking care of them. So it's, you there's this great term up, but it's a value on investment. Taking care of the health and well-being of your people is a value. It's the value on investment is basically you get more value and you get more out of the people. It's not so much about the bottom line is important, yes, but it's like if you take care of the people, then the bottom line will increase. You'll you know,
Exactly.
the
It will
company
happen
will perform much
naturally.
better.
Yeah, because it's like a
Exactly.
domino effect. If we know that being healthy and well and looking after ourselves creates higher performers in ourselves, it's going to create high performers in our team. So if we're
Exactly.
creating an environment where our team have the opportunity and are supported to be as healthy as they can be in all these pillars, it stands to reason they will be our highest performers. And high performers are engaged employees, they drive productivity, they drive profitability. It has that domino effect down the chain. So there's no doubt. And I think, as you said, we have to lead by example. And that means, if we're practicing what we preach here, we've got to allow our team to do that as well. And I know I would create dialogue around that where I would say, this is what I'm doing, and how are you tapping into this? And we had an understanding. And I know that if I turned up in the morning and my assistant would say, did you go for a run this morning? I'd say, yes, she would be straight down to the coffee shop to get me a coffee and often a healthy little breakfast because she also knew that I was subject to get hangry and no one wanted to be around me when I was hangry. So we had little systems in place to help make sure everyone was looked after. But it also then meant there was not only permission for me to do that, but permission for the team to
Exactly.
create that for themselves, which is different for everyone, what that looks like. But there was opportunity for them to explore what that looks like for them and to have that lifestyle, which I think is so important. And it has that flow on effect. It creates not only healthy culture, but healthy businesses that are high performing, productive, and profitable, which is why we're here in business at the end of the day. So it stands to reason. Fantastic. Is there a final message you would like to leave everyone with today, Marcy, in terms of their health, their well-being, or actions that they might be able to take?
Yeah, I'd say what's important is really to start up with looking at what's important to you in the different areas of your life. So, and decide, okay, what is really important to me? What's important to me? My health. This will be another podcast, but I won't get into that bit about, what's important to me personally. So my physical, mental, emotional health and well-being. What's important for me as, say, I call it the four Ps, so personal, as a parent, if you're a parent. What's important to me as a partner, if you're in a relationship, whether it's a romantic relationship or a relationship with other people, and what's important for me in my profession. And you look at the one thing, say you might come up with three of the top, maybe one to two things in those areas, and then look at what's happening right now. Is your behavior reflecting that those things are a priority? And you kind of look at the gap between where you are now and where you want to be. And then slowly work out, okay, what little thing can I do in each of those areas? Start off one thing at a time to just increase, do a little bit more in that area, whether it's take a little bit more care of your health. What can you do? So it's a matter of deciding what your priorities are, looking where the gap is, and where you can make those little changes. And as far as the one thing that I say to people that's really, I have this with my work life flow framework. I say there's three key things in order to get to have this work-life flow and to feel better in yourself is that, and I call it the SOS work-life balance framework. So the three things that you want to look at and take care of are that are important are self-care, organization, and support. So within that, taking care of yourself, looking at those five pillars or whatever it is that's important to you, organization, you have to have structures and processes that are important in place and schedule those things. Get yourself organized so that you can do the things that are important. And then support. We cannot do it alone. It doesn't
So
matter who
true.
you are, whether you're getting, support from the family, you're getting paid support, whether you're getting support from your at the workplace, from colleagues or, the leaders in the workplace. Those things are important. So self-care is important, organization and support. If you think if things aren't going well, let me look at my SOS. Send an SOS to yourself. Self-care. Okay, am I doing that? Organization. What do I need to do there? Support. Who can help me?
Fantastic. I love that. That's a great finishing point for today. And we'll have all your contact details in the show notes. But if people want to reach you, what is your preferred contact point? Is it via your website, via LinkedIn? How do you best love to connect with people?
Yes, the best way to connect with me is via LinkedIn, and because I tend to be a little bit more active then. Also, you can email me at dr.masi, MASI, at herselfhealth.com, and I'll respond to your emails personally. And also, you can go onto my website and see what else we do there. So we've got the women's health and wellness there, and we've also got the leadership health and well-being, which is for all leaders, so regardless of gender. That's the We're there for everybody. So LinkedIn is best, my email, or go to my website.
Fantastic. We will put all of those links in today's show notes wherever you're listening to this episode. Dr. Mussey, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. It's been great to have you here, and no doubt we will invite you back for a follow-up chat down the track.
Thank you so much, Christy Lee. It's been wonderful being here, and thank you to all the audience for listening.
Thanks for joining us on this episode. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a rating, comment, and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to recommend us to a friend. We also love hearing suggestions for topics or guest speakers that you would love to hear from. The best way to reach us to give us those suggestions is over on our Facebook page. Simply head to Facebook and search Grow Your Influence. See you there.